The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, September 20, 2018, and this is The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. My name is Bob. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Coming up on today's show, Jody Hamilton from The Stephanie Miller Show and at least a dozen other shows is here right now. The Republicans are making sure women voters turn out in huge numbers against the GOP by demonizing Christine Ford, a rape victim. Good job, Republicans. This totally won't backfire. Oh, and Trump continues to vindicate Woodward's book and the anonymous op-ed author by losing his spadoinkle every damn day. We've got a new stack here in the show. It's called the Brainworms Stack. We're going to get to that. Oh, and by the way, sexy liberal D.C. this weekend. I'm going to be there. Carl Frisch is going to be there. Daryl Hammond, Malcolm Nance. Oh, my God. Charlie Pierce, Stephanie Miller, John Fugelsang. And a cast of thousands here in Washington, D.C. Again, Saturday night. Go to sexyliberal.com. Get your tickets now while they last. And the midterms are going to be here before you can say impeach Trump. And now you can remind yourself to vote every time you wash by picking up Bubble Genius's Vote Soap. It's a 5-ounce bar of sweet-smelling soap, artistically carved into the shape of the word vote, with a third of the proceeds going to resistance candidates across the country. Only $7 from Bubble Genius. But you can use our promo code BOBC for 15% off your entire order only from BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Damn, dude, this place is huge. Yeah, it's almost as big as Cartman's ass.
No, it isn't, you guys.
This is where all our work is done.
So what are you going to do with all these underpants that you steal?
Collecting underpants is just phase one. Phase one, collect underpants.
So, what's phase two?
Hey, what's phase two? Phase one, we collect underpants.
Yeah, but what about phase two?
Well, phase three is profit. Get it?
I don't get it.
You see, phase one, collect underpants. Phase two, phase three, profit.
Oh, I get it.
No, you don't, fat ass. Do you guys know anything about corporations?
You bet we do.
Us gnomes are geniuses at corporations.
Jesus Christ, look out!
Oh my God, they killed Kenny. You bastards. Listen, we have to give a huge speech tomorrow about corporate takeovers.
Holy shit, we killed your friend.
Yeah. Look, we gotta know about corporate takeovers tomorrow or we're screwed.
Christ, we squished him like a bug.
Do you know anything about corporate takeovers?
Well, we can explain that to you easily.
Yes, for a price.
What?
You know.
Underpants?
Bob Seska.
We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Seska Show.
Phase one, collect underpants.
Oh, man. It is the Trump Crisis Day 609. We're going to talk about underpants here in just a second. Trump Crisis Day 609, 46 days until the 2018 midterms. Get ready. Vote your ass off. Seriously. That should be the new slogan. Instead of blue wave, I'm going to start printing the T-shirts now. Vote your ass off. How about it? I come up with the best ideas, don't I? I've got the best brain. Oh, hey, look, right over there. It's TV's Jody Hamilton for another weird Thursday with Jody on the show. Hi, Jody.
I know, 2 weeks in a row. What's going on here?
That's insane. I love it. Of course, I'm not complaining at all. I love having you back 2 weeks in a row. It's going to be extra weird, and it's already started to get weird. It's already
Yeah, we're talking
weird.
About underpants already and bursitis, so.
That's right.
Phase one, collect underpants.
That's right. Write it down, because this is the process. Kavanaugh's fraternity apparently composed of underpants gnomes, so we might as well just dig into that right away, because this article turned up on social media, and everyone's been talking about it. This horrendous story about Kavanaugh's fraternity. Mm-hmm. And some of the things they used to do. Well, first of all, we're hearing about something called I'm not going to bleep this, so get ready. It's called the Tit and Clit. That's the name of their secret society.
Oh, they are so smart. The brain trust that came up with that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Mm. And boy, you know what? I'm so ready to go back to college and pledge this fraternity. It sounds so wonderful. It sounds so fun and
doesn't it?
Wholesome.
Can I be a little sister?
Yeah. During the fraternity's pledge week, the source recalled, the frat's upperclassmen would send the new recruits for, again, this is Kavanaugh's fraternity at Yale, they send the new recruits out for fun to talk to Yale women on their behalf. Occasionally, this person said, DKE, Deke, brothers would send new recruits on scavenger hunts to find specific objects on campus. Not completely out of the norm, right, Jody? This is sort of scavenger hunts. That's sort of a thing. But pledges might ask for help from women they knew, or maybe the guy who sent them knew, to complete an item on the list. This person said, I am almost certain that is where any women's undergarments would have come from. Women people knew donating them willingly to play along. This person is like barely literate, by the way.
How did they get into Yale?
I know. That's such a weird quote. Well, let me try this again. I am almost certain that is where any women's undergarments would have come from. Okay, I got it. Women people knew donating them willingly to play along. That is barely English. But let's continue. How about that?
Yes,
but in a comment on a post in the Yale Women Facebook page, Jennifer Liu, class of 87, a classmate of Kavanaugh's, recalled that Deke brothers would ransack women's rooms while they were in class to collect undergarments, of course.
Phase one, collect underpants.
That's right. Another alumnus, Julie Klein, 87, described Deke as an animal house. In addition to Deke, Kavanaugh also belonged to Truth and Courage, one of Yale's secret societies for seniors. Among some students, the all-male club, which was popular with athletes, was known by the nickname Tit and Clit. Truth and Courage fizzled out of existence in the early 2010s. Boy, it's amazing it lasts that long. But since Kavanaugh's graduation in 1987, Deke's reputation for mistreating women at Yale has only grown. Yale banned Deke from campus for 5 years in 2011 after videos circulated of fraternity recruits chanting, "No means yes, yes means anal."
Phase one, collect underpants.
In front of the university.
I remember hearing about that.
Wow. These, as Trump would say, quality individuals.
Very, very, very nice. Very fine people on both sides.
Right. And this spring, the university launched an investigation into the fraternity's sexual climate after reports in the Yale Daily News and Business Insider documented sexual assault allegations against more than half a dozen members, including the fraternity's former president. Kavanaugh does not appear to have spoken publicly about his time in Deke, but in a speech to the Yale Law School Federalist Society in 24, he recounted a falling out, something, 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 because that's where the screen grab ends. So that's the information that we have regarding Kavanaugh's former fraternity. And it seems to match with this other story about Kavanaugh saying, what happens at Georgetown Prep stays at Georgetown Prep. There it is.
Right.
Kavanaugh made the remarks during a speech he gave at Catholic University of America's Columbus School of Law. This was in 2015. 2015.
So 5 minutes ago.
Right. So already he's defending the underpants theft.
Phase one, collect underpants.
Well, actually, I don't know if he did any underpants stealing at Georgetown Prep. But, I mean, who knew that we'd be reading about Kavanaugh also, in addition to everything else, being an underpants gnome. Christ. This gets even worse and worse as time goes on. Maisie Hirono, by the way, is just blowing me out of the water.
I love her.
Yeah, Hirono smash has become my catchphrase for her, for Maisie Hirono. She said earlier today, Chuck Grassley's claim that Republicans have done everything they can to contact Dr. Ford is such bullshit, I can hardly stand it.
Atta girl.
Hirono smash. There you go. And unfortunately, they bleeped all the audio, so it's not really worth playing with the bleeps in there. So damn you, ABC. Damn you. God damn
FCC
it.
FCC rules.
I know. Stupid FCC. but the Republicans at this point are going to move forward with Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation despite sexual assault allegations here from Christine Blasey Ford. Mm-hmm. Trump is kind of half-heartedly defending Kavanaugh, and we kind of, Jody, didn't we get a partial explanation as to why that might be? Because I've heard that Don McGahn's office was really the place where Brett Kavanaugh was pushed into the spotlight the most, as in terms of the this list of Federalist Society candidates for this particular seat on the Supreme Court. So, of all those candidates, I think Don McGahn's office apparently pushed Kavanaugh onto Trump, and Trump was like, "Okay, I don't care. I've got brain worms. What do I know?" And so that's how we ended up with Brett Kavanaugh. And that's probably why Donald Trump just seems to be not so much Donald Trump on this. And I keep waiting for the, oh, he's in the middle of pivoting kind of thing. Oh, he's suddenly becoming presidential. Finally, it's happening. Hooray. Oh, good job, Mr. Finally with. No, it's not that at all. It's absolutely not. It is just Trump just disagreeing with Don McGahn. That's about it.
The thing that is interesting to me with the Republicans is they just need to pick somebody else on the Federalist Society's list, and that person will also be just like Kavanaugh, but maybe not with so much rape in his background or lying.
Yeah, maybe find someone with a little less rape in there.
A little less rape and a little less perjury. I don't know.
That would be a good idea, I think. I mean, the perjury thing to me should be the end of it. I mean, that should have been. I mean, for God's sake, he lied through his teeth and they had proof. They had the emails. There is no way he didn't know that he received Democratic documents that were stolen from a mole, because the person told him in the email that these documents came from a mole they have with the Democrats on the Hill.
That should, first off, not only should it not get him a better job, but he should be fired from his current job.
Yeah, exactly. He should be impeached from his current job.
And disbarred.
Right. Right. I mean, so there's an entire list of things, and now we're adding rape on top of everything else, and the Republicans are like, we don't know. I mean, I think he's great.
Yeah, I think it's because he believes that the president is above the law, and they would like that to be the case.
Right. And well, that was the explanation that was given in this Don McGahn scenario, that they picked Kavanaugh to protect their boss.
Right.
And it's the funny thing is that Captain Brainworms in the Oval Office doesn't really even know, doesn't understand the jujitsu behind nominating Brett Kavanaugh. Or if he does, he's not entirely convinced of why that's good for him or something along those lines. Because, again, he's really, really, I mean, conspicuously slow walking this. Because you would think, I mean, Don Jr. is doing more in support of Brett Kavanaugh than the president is.
Yeah, maybe he's maybe his buddy Vlad has told him don't do too much.
right.
Look obvious. You just shush.
Well, what Vlad likes the most in all of this is just the chaos. He doesn't care who gets confirmed, just as long as it's absolutely partisan and absolutely chaotic in the process. Mm-hmm. You know, just as long as everyone is smacking each other with shovels. You know. As time goes on, as the confirmation process wears on, the more chaos, the better for Vladimir Putin. But Trump actually said it was very hard for me to imagine anything happened with Ford because Kavanaugh is such an outstanding man.
Yeah.
You know, Donald Trump, by the way, in terms of his endorsements of people, Donald Trump is the worst endorser.
I wouldn't want him endorsing me.
Oh, my God. Well, I discovered not too long ago that he just copies and pastes his endorsement on Twitter. It's like he believes in the Second Amendment and he's strong in the military. Vote for Joey Jojo Shabadoo Jr. for the midterms. And here's the least I can say without saying nothing. Bye. Now, what about that fake news? What about them 17 angry Democrats? This is Donald Trump doesn't care about anyone except himself. And the whole idea that he is somehow trying to help the forgotten men and women of the United States, this is just such bullshit. Donald Trump's helping himself. Don't be a sucker. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, just as an aside, speaking of suckers, George W. Bush is a colossal sucker. George W. Bush is out there right now, not only endorsing Brett Kavanaugh, and touring the country in support of pro-Trump Republicans and fundraising for them and just completely ignoring what Trump did to his brother, what Trump has said about Bush himself. And even today, Trump slammed George W. Bush for the worst single mistake in U.S. history. That is a Trump quote about the Iraq War.
Wow.
And George W. Bush. And yet, here's George W. Bush, like the goober that he is, campaigning for all these Trumpers coast to coast.
It doesn't make sense. He should be promoting anti-Trump Republicans, not pro-Trump Republicans.
Right. He is.
I mean, I understand him promoting Republicans. That makes sense. Yes. But not Trumpers. I mean, that seems silly.
Well, right. And he should want there to not be a Republican Congress to just allow a rubber stamp for Donald Trump's worst instincts. I mean, that. But he's doing it anyway. He doesn't care. Or he does care, and he's just in it for the money. He's just glad to be getting the attention. He's glad to be picking up some speaking fees along the way. Maybe that's it. Who knows? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. He can't be making a whole lot of money on those paintings. Meanwhile, Senator Chuck Grassley said a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing will begin at 10 a.m. on Monday and gave Ford a deadline of 10 a.m. Friday to submit prepared remarks if she plans to testify. While Ford has not officially declined the committee's invitation, her attorney has asked for a full nonpartisan investigation. Which, of course, ought to happen. I mean, this is absolutely no. I've been fighting with Trumpers on Twitter all goddamn day about this. I mean,
well, it only took 3 days for the FBI to investigate Anita Hill's allegations.
Right.
And then because she didn't have a witness, they were like, could have happened. We don't know. We have no way of knowing. But this woman, apparently she told other people at the time, and people in the neighborhood would have known about something like this because guys would brag about it.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, the precedent is there. This is something that gets done. We have quotes from Chuck Grassley and Orrin Hatch saying, hey, this is perfect. I think the FBI did a great job reopening its background check investigation against Clarence Thomas is one of the more recent examples. Mm-hmm. So just like, well, now you're against it?
You know, it makes no sense. They don't. But the problem is if Judge or... Kavanaugh is questioned by the FBI,
right,
then they may lie to the FBI, and that's against the law.
Yep. And here, it's not just ancient history either that's
right.
proving their hypocrisy and ridiculous contradictions on all of this stuff. It's something much more recent, in fact, entirely current, because you can't say all at the same time that, oh, yeah, this person is lying. Christine Ford is lying about Brett Kavanaugh, and she needs to be doxxed and investigated and harassed, etc., etc., etc. But when it comes to actual law enforcement questioning her, oh, no, wait, no, don't do that. Don't. It's like what we see here from Trump all the time. Don't look at those documents. Do not look at these documents. Do not look at my tax returns. Don't touch the tax returns.
Right. It's like, don't look over there.
Yeah. Way to make yourself look really, really guilty. And that's the case with this guy, with Brett Kavanaugh and the FBI and the Trumpers right now, just like stonewalling an entire effort to just have the FBI take a look. And, you know, if your guy is innocent, the FBI will find that most likely he's innocent. You know,
right.
they can't come up with unequivocal evidence after however many years, it's been 35 years or something like that. But they can go through and determine, because they do this stuff all the time. This is something that the FBI is trained to do.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, trying to find any sort of consistency among the Trump supporters or among the red hats is nearly impossible anymore. And no wonder, Jody, that they're so nuts. No wonder they just don't know which end is up, and they're just losing their minds. They're right along with their president, because... Mm-hmm. They've got to hold these conflicting ideas in their head and then present themselves on social media defending these ideas, even though they make zero sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. No, I've watched a friend of mine. He's a lawyer out of Arizona. I went to high school with him. And another guy was like, well, why did Dianne Feinstein wait so long? Well, it was anonymous first. She was trying to keep the win. Plus, she gave it to the FBI to investigate. But the White House said, don't do it. I mean, it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I
mean, just read a newspaper.
There isn't a single valid argument for opposing the FBI reopening the background check on Brett Kavanaugh. There is nothing but precedent. There is nothing but reason for them to do it, if only to exonerate Brett Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. I mean, just put aside, let's prove what Christine Ford has to say. Just say, okay, you know what? We're going to give this to the FBI just to show you libtards or whatever the word they're using these days. We're going to show you that you're full of shit by defending Christine Ford. So let's hand this off to the FBI. You would think that that would be a no-brainer. You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? You'd like to think that this would be a no-brainer.
You'd like to think that.
Exactly right. And of course, this is not the approach they're taking. They're taking the approach of people who are defending a guilty person. And they're just trying desperately to make sure that they can get through this. And like with everything with Donald Trump, they are holding their noses and trying to push this through as fast as they can to get to the other side so they don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yep.
And that's been their approach to everything Trump has said and done. And let's just hold our noses. Let's ignore what he's saying and just try to push forward as best we can, because soon this will all be over. Eventually, Donald Trump will no longer be president, but we'll still have accomplished our agenda. That's the whole idea behind all of this. I mean, that's the dominating motivation.
And they're also doing it with the lower courts. Let's not forget that they're packing the lower courts with Kavanaugh-esque people.
Yep. And by the way, thanks, Chuck Schumer. I just want to throw that in there. Meanwhile, Dinesh Douchebag accused Ford of binge drinking, thus making the rape okay.
Fuck you!
These people. On top of going out of their way to look guilty, these people are also going out of their way to look like the biggest goddamn group of misogynists this end of Attila the Hun. I mean, for God's sake, Dinesh D'Souza, this is from the Daily Banter, Ben Cohen from the Daily Banter wrote this up. He's now blaming her for being sexually assaulted because she was potentially involved in hookups and binge drinking as a teenager. He tweeted, Dinesh Douchebag said today, no one in the media is covering the culture of hookups and binge drinking the accuser was part of. Here's what they're trying to cover up. And he quote tweeted someone named G-Man Fan 45. You know who that is? You know who that's a reference to? That I think G-Man Fan 45 is G-Man is G. Gordon Liddy, possibly. I know G-Man, that used to be what G. Gordon Liddy would refer to himself as. This is the G-Man, G. Gordon Liddy. And then he used to announce his show that way. So I don't know if that's a specific reference to Gordon Liddy, but it could be also a reference to Trump because it says 45 at the end. I have no idea. Nevertheless, so this person that Dinesh Douchebag is quoting says, Christine Blasey Ford, Kavanaugh's accuser, confidential, conspiracy to scrub her social media footprint, but read about her high school antics and you will know why they won't let it be out in public. Oh, this is the person who made, I think this might have been the person who doxed her. Because, of course, they're doxing her, Jody. I heard. Yeah. I mean, she's basically had to go into hiding. You know, because she's in this for the attention.
Yes, and a book deal. That's
right. Book deal. Right, which is why she's gone into hiding, and she's fearing for her life and the life of her family.
Yep.
That's every sane college professor is just like, yeah, you know what? I got to get this book deal. I got to publish. It's publisher power. So why not just expose myself to national ridicule by half of the voting population of the United States?
Well, the letter, I believe, that her lawyer sent to the Judiciary Committee included, hey, you know she's getting death threats. We want to make sure that she can arrive and leave the Senate safely.
Yeah, but we can't have that. Got to make sure that every red hat in the world just is surrounding her constantly, screaming every horrible thing in the book at her. Meanwhile, Dean Heller, remember there was a period of about 3 hours, perhaps about a year and a half ago, when Dean Heller was considered a good guy on the Republican side? That was funny.
I do. I remember that. Yeah. That was cute.
So do I.
Phase one, collect underpants.
Yes. Thank you, Brett Kavanaugh. Dean Heller called the sexual assault allegations against Kavanaugh a little hiccup.
Oh.
You dick.
Got it.
God damn it, these people. Oh, my God. An alleged rape, for God's sake. Just a little hiccup. And he hopes all senators will address the accusations in good faith so they can get through this and off to the race. Now, see what I was just saying? And there it's vindicated right there. That's what exactly. I was just saying that all they're trying to do is hold their breath and get through this and get Kavanaugh confirmed so they can get back at the baby killers. And here's Dean Heller confirming all of that. Hey, let's just get through this. And then we'll be off to the races, you know, condemning women to second-class citizenship. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Good luck with your endeavor there, Mr. Heller, Senator Heller. the Nevada Republican. By the way, Dean Heller is fighting for his life in Nevada. He may yeah. not get reelected in November. The Nevada Republican went on to call Trump a great leader.
What?
No. No, not a great leader at all. Despite saying he was 99% against Trump in October 2016. These guys, I mean, they just, consistency, we're in the post-consistency era. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the post-consistency, post-hypocrisy era in American mm-hmm. politics, where what you said just now no longer matters because now it's now. It's no longer then, it's now. And so it doesn't matter what you said 35 years or did 35 years ago, or what you said 35 seconds ago or 35 months ago. None of that is relevant anymore with these people. 99, Dean Heller and Lindsey Graham, 99% against Donald Trump back during the election. But now they're totally on board with this lunatic. And by the way, in case we need more evidence of how much of a lunatic Donald Trump is, we get this week.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
It's good to know water's standpoint on all of this.
Yes.
What is that? I mean, it was just like, there was the, when I heard it finally, I'm like, okay, oh I heard that. It oh happened and we let it happen. And he has the best words, apparently. I don't know what to say anymore.
It's impossible, Jody, to justify how the hell that even went public, because it was a pre-recorded White House video where Donald Trump waddles his way, hauls his little mushroom dick out to the Rose Garden and does a pre-recorded remark, a series of remarks about... what the hell was he talking about? He was talking about Florence. He was talking about the hurricane. And so he goes out there. He literally says,
one of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
From the standpoint,
does water get wetter?
I don't know what he's talking. I think he meant to say from the standpoint of rainfall, like one of the worst we've seen from the standpoint of rainfall. But instead it came out one of the wettest we've seen from the standpoint of water.
And did you hear him with the guy who had a boat apparently appear on his house?
God, yes.
And he said, oh, at least you got a nice boat out of it.
Spent a good long time talking about that boat, too, by the way. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought that up, because he did. He spent a good, I don't know, 5 minutes chatting with this guy about this boat that had washed up in his yard. I said, at least he got the boat. All of your property's gone.
But you got a boat.
You got a boat. What's there to complain about? Even though...
What's your problem?
That's right. What's your issue? And by the way, Trump is the shittiest president we've ever seen from the standpoint of nincompoopery. See? Now that actually kind of made a little bit of sense, I think.
I just like that you said nincompoopery.
Yes. My favorite word in the entire goddamn dictionary. Nincompoopery. Because, of course, it's got the word poop in there. And I am just that juvenile. All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see if I can get Kimberly A. Johnson to come in here and offer up an endorsement of this product I'm about to talk about.
Because should I tweet at her?
A fantastic product. Yeah, tweet at her.
Okay.
I see her. I'm clapping my hands. Oh, Kimberly. Oh, dong. Kimberly Johnson. I'm going to see. We tried this once before, Jody, with Jackie on the show.
I know. I just tweeted at her.
Okay. Maybe she'll come in and endorse this fine, fine product, because they're bed sheets. And Kimberly A. Johnson needs bed sheets that are nice and crisp and cool. I mean, we're not rich people, but we sleep like rich people now. Because at the end of a stressful day, we slip into these great new sheets we discovered at brooklinen.com. Mm. And it's not just us. Good housekeeping name, brooklinen.com, the best of online bedding. Brooklinen.com is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world, with over 20,000 five-star reviews. A husband and wife team in Brooklyn. See, get it? Brooklyn, Brooklinen. Yeah. One of the kind of sheets you find in the nicest hotel rooms, but since most bedding is marked up as much as 300%, they didn't want to pay those inflated prices, so they cut out the middlemen while still providing personal customer service. Brooklinen sheets come in your choice of fabrics and colors. They look as great as they feel. Kimberly Johnson! I don't know how much louder I can possibly be. Into the studio, please! I don't know if she can hear me.
They're the best sheets ever.
Well, I was just about to say the same thing. Our Brooklinen sheets are literally the best, the most comfortable sheets we've ever slept on. They're cool to the touch, which is great if you're living in the mungy, humid heat of the Washington, D.C. Metroplex. And Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you, my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code BOBC at Brooklinen.com.
Kimberly, goddammit, get your ass in here!
Now I'm just yelling.
That was very sweet. That was really sweet of you.
That was
you
such a sweet
her.
Way
so
to
loving.
Do it. Yeah, get your
so
get
nice.
Your ass in here. That's normally how I greet her.
So sweet.
Brooklinen's so sure you're going to love their new sheets. There's a risk-free 60-night guarantee. Usually it's like 30 days. But this is like they're giving you 60 nights to try out your Brooklinen sheets and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. But the only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code BOBC at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com with the promo code BOBC. Brooklinen, these are really, really seriously the best sheets ever. Ever.
Kimberly Johnson!
I don't think she's going to make it in here. I think we're done with the commercial.
I think we're done.
I don't even know.
Maybe she's chatting with Alyssa Milano on Twitter and has ignored us both.
I think she heard my yelling and just right out the door. Fuck you, Seska. I'm leaving. I'm not going to be yelled at from the other room. I'm not going to be summoned. I'm not your commercial slave. Probably what you say. Okay, that's it for the commercial. Bye.
The Bob Seska Show. The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You know, I had to play this song. There's an actual song. It's by a group called Standpoint. And the song is called Water. I'm not making that up. This is not because of the thing that Trump said. This just is an amazing coincidence. Yeah, it's Standpoint and Water. I was amazed that there's actually a real song called that.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Yes, and literally from the standpoint song Water. All right.
Wow.
Make sure to go shopping through our Amazon link, by the way. We're coming up on the end of the month. Do all your shopping. Go do it now. You know what? By the way, I got my copy of Fear, my hard copy copy.
I got mine the other day. Yeah, I got mine on Tuesday.
Yeah, mine arrived yesterday, and I've already started to thumb through it like maniacally. I'm gonna have my Rachel Maddow highlighter to highlight all of the most brain melting passages, I think. But make sure to go to our Amazon link. Click it. It's just beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. It takes you right to the front page of Amazon.com. You can type in Fear Bob Woodward if you want, or literally any one of like a billion different products that they have at Amazon.com. And we get a teeny tiny commission from some of the things you buy. So thank you for doing that. All right. So we were talking about how Donald Trump thinks the hurricane is the wettest we've seen from the standpoint of water.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
He also said to The Hill, he did an extensive interview with The Hill, a recorded interview, which he still thinks he's good at doing. He said to The Hill, I should have fired James Comey before I got here.
That's not how it works.
I should have fired him the day I won the primaries. I should have fired him right after the convention. You know what, you goddamn idiot? No, you weren't president during the primaries. And why do I even have to explain why this is just one of the dumbest things he's ever said? He's like sitting there going, yeah, I should have fired James Comey before I was ever president or had the authority to fire him. And of course, you know, I mean, obviously the red hats are like, yeah, he's totally right. You should have fired him during the primaries.
Yep.
Should have debated Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush and then walked off stage and goes, James Comey, you're fired. And that would have been it. James Comey would have been like, oh, okay. Oh, bye. what the fuck are we?
I know.
The brain worms, your guy, you know, if you're Red Hat listening in, your guy has brain worms. Seriously, it's time to you know, maybe have some sort of psychiatric evaluate. I think that's maybe in order. I mean, that's what France is doing with Marine Le Pen. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about this? Marine Le Pen's tweeting horrible things. And so they're having her undergo a government-ordered psychiatric evaluation.
We need to do that.
Yeah, because Marine Le Pen is maybe worse than Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think she might actually be. It's a tough call, but she might be.
Yeah, she was charged with circulating violent messages that incite terrorism or pornography or seriously harm human dignity.
Jesus.
And that can be viewed by a minor. And as part of their investigation, it appears magistrates in Nanterre near Paris have ordered Le Pen to visit a psychiatrist for an expert assessment. Le Pen photographed and tweeted out the order of ordering her for psychiatric evaluation with the words, "It's really incredible. This regime is really starting to worry me," suggesting that in the case was part of a government plot to discredit her. You know, these people, they do everything they possibly can to discredit themselves. I mean, whether it's Donald Trump or Marine Le Pen or anyone in between. And then they're like, why? It's so unfair. Unfair. Donald Trump, he's just constantly ranting about how unfair it is that, you know, he's so sad for Donald Trump and Marine Le Pen. So unfair the treatment they're getting by acting like maniacs. And then us saying, hey, you know what? Stop acting like maniacs. And they go, stop being so unfair to us.
I know, it's amazing. They accuse us of being all thin-skinned when they're the worst. They're the worst.
Marine Le Pen.
Stop whining.
Thank you. Good God. I mean, she posted a picture of that journalist, James Foley, but post-mortem. Like, she posted a picture of his decapitated body.
Oh.
Yeah, on Twitter. And she's like, why are you being so unfair? That's, by the way, that's my actual Marine Le Pen impression. No French accent.
I like your accent.
Yeah,
I like your accent. It's good. Just,
why are you being so unfair? Also, my Jeanine Pirro impression.
Yeah, I was about to say, it sounded a little like Jeanine Pirro.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, again, we got to look to Europe and find out how they actually treat national leaders who are fucking batshit. Maybe take a lesson from this, American government. Maybe we ought to think about something along these lines for some of our post-Trump presidential reforms that I'm the only one who's talking about it. I swear to God, we ought to be doing this, and I don't think anyone else is. Maybe we haven't gotten that far. Maybe I'm just way ahead of the curve by saying, you know what, we need some constitutional amendments to make sure Donald Trump can't happen again.
No, I agree with you completely. I mean, after Watergate, there were a bunch of laws passed, but no amendments, and I think that was a problem.
Yeah, there were some laws passed as far as
campaign finance, things like that were passed.
The intelligence community and so on. Mm-hmm. And FISA was one of them, one of the reforms post-Watergate. And so we should be doing that now, but I think it's really got to be locked down as a constitutional amendment because
I agree.
I think everyone would agree. Hey, you know, I think this is not a bad idea. You know, and I even think Republicans would go along with it because if you make the case that, yeah, I mean, what if Democrat X, what if Hillary Clinton suddenly becomes president and has all of these powers that Donald Trump has exposed through his walking through all these loopholes in the system and decimating democratic institutions and government institutions and things like that, traditions and decency and decorum of the White House and so on.
And she has a Senate and a Congress to support her all the way through it.
Yeah, exactly. So wouldn't you want a constitutional amendment making sure that any president from any party could not continue to abuse power the way Donald Trump is? I would. I'm totally on board with that.
Absolutely.
I don't care if the next president is Michelle Obama. Well, I do care. I really hope the next president is, in fact, Michelle Obama, just if you want to know my endorsement at this point, even though I don't think she's running. But if I were to choose, if it was up to me, I'd say, okay, Michelle Obama is going to be the next president. And yeah, I would want strictures on that office, even if it is the greatest president in the history of the presidency.
Right.
That's what we need, because Donald Trump is just exposing all of these serious, serious gaps in how the executive branch actually functions. So that needs to all be tied down.
Well, it's also exposing that the House and the Senate are not doing their job.
Right. And this, of course, goes back to Christine Ford. She sent a letter to the FBI saying she's been the target of vicious harassment and even death threats. and has been forced to leave her home again because she's all in this for the attention.
Right.
And the book deal. But yeah, so that you can bet that anyone who's defending Ford herself, her family members. You know, I've been thinking about this for a long, long time with regard to anyone who steps out and criticizes Donald Trump. You know, it's amazing that members of the press are able to walk out of those rallies after Donald Trump points to them personally and calls them the enemy of the people.
Maybe it's the security at those places or protecting them. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they are lucky, or they may have their own bodyguards at this point.
Well, it's got to be the case. I think CNN, in fact, there was a story about CNN having increased security for their anchors and personalities and reporters and so on. Which, that's got to be the case, because there are nutbags left and right. We had another mass shooting today in Maryland.
Didn't we have one on Tuesday as well, or Wednesday or something?
Oh, there's a mass shooting every day, of course, Jody Hamilton. It was probably one yesterday, and you know, this just keeps going on and on and on. And the whole idea, much like with Trump, the longer Trump's in office, the more this is normalized, the longer these mass shootings go on, the more they're going to be normalized, whether we like it or not. That is the goal of the gun culture, which, by the way, is now linked inextricably to Russia somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the idea is, the more mass shootings there are, you know, this is another case, actually. We were talking about holding your nose and getting through the bullshit just to get to the other side. The Dean Heller philosophy. That's the same case with the mass shootings. If we can get through those mass shootings, we can have nice protections for gun owners on the other side.
I believe California has put a bill to the floor of the assembly, and or it's going to the governor's desk. Basically, bullets now will have to be regulated similarly to guns.
Oh, wow. So they're actually doing like the Chris Rock bullet control thing.
Exactly. Basically, they're going to not all have individual serial numbers. You're going to have to get a background check when you buy bullets. It's and the type of bullets and all of that stuff. California said, okay, we can't do it the gun route. We're going to do it the bullet route.
Right. Yeah. Now that we're talking about bullet control, let's hear from Chris Rock.
Everybody talking about gun control. Got to get rid of the guns. Fuck that. I like guns. You got a gun, you don't have to work out. I ain't working out. I ain't jogging. You got pecs, I got pecs. That shit. You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. $5,000 for a bullet. You know why? Because if a bullet costs $5,000, there'll be no more innocent bystanders.
I got a .357 Magnum. It's really heavy to throw it at your head.
Every time somebody gets shot, you be like, damn, he must have did something. Should they put $50,000 worth of bullets in his head? And people are safe before they kill somebody if a bullet costs $5,000. Man, I would blow your fucking head off if I could afford it.
All right. All right, that was great, Chris Rock.
That's a great routine, and I heard about it on the radio the other day that California's trying to get this done, which is great.
Yeah, they should call it the Chris Rock bill, the Chris Rock bullet control bill. I'm absolutely 100% serious. He came up with the idea. That is his idea. And, you know, his most recent special, which I think is also on Netflix right now, he does this whole bit about how the Republicans always come up with the idea. Well, I mean, all these mass shooters could just stab people. He's talking about how this mass stabber at the mall is like, you're standing way down at the end of a group of people, and you're like, oh man, that guy is stabbing somebody. Oh, he's stabbing somebody else. Oh, he's getting closer. He's going to stab me now. And it's just like this slow build until finally the mass stabber, after a good long period of time, gets around to to Chris Rock as he's telling the story.
It's so like funny. The Austin Powers scene with the guy that gets... pummeled by the machine.
And
he's going so slowly.
That steamroller thing going
the steamroller, exactly.
Going like half a mile an hour.
Yeah, if that fast.
All right, so Trump told the hurricane victims, have a good time.
Yeah. I heard that too.
The victims of the wettest storm we've seen from a standpoint of water.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Right. It was tremendously big and tremendously wet.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
He also said, at least he got a nice boat out of the deal.
Yeah.
To these people where, you know, he's standing and it's amid the picture. When you go to the Washington Post article, the headline is, it's part of the fix. At least you got a nice boat out of the deal, Trump tells North Carolina man during post-Florence tour. So the picture is hilarious where Trump is standing there in his uniform amongst like all kinds of rubble. And there's this sailboat. It's a really nice sailboat that's washed up into this person's front yard.
Right.
It's like, you know, at least you got a boat. Well, it's not, you fucking idiot. It's not there. They can't keep the boat.
No, it's somebody else's boat, first off.
But of course, if it was Donald Trump's house, I'm totally keeping that boat. That's my boat now. It's on my property. You can't take it. That is my boat. Get your hands off of it. Take your hands off of my boat.
Take him off my boat. I've got my shoes on there. All my shoes.
I love how you always go to Saul Rosenberg every time I do my Trump New York accent, his Brooklyn accent. So speaking of more brain worms for Donald Trump, he told Spain's foreign minister that Spain should build a wall across the Sahara.
Huh?
Yeah.
What's the logic with that?
In order to curb migration from Africa, see? When Spanish diplomats pointed out that the Sahara stretched for 3,000 miles, Trump responded by saying, the Sahara border can't be bigger than our border with Mexico.
Oh, my God.
Again, someone is giving him a fact, and he's going, nope, you're wrong. You're wrong. Totally wrong.
Wrong.
It's just like it's this the first story in Fear, the Bob Woodward book, is the story about Gary Cohn saying, mm-hmm. All right, you know, look, we've got this thing with trade, and you know, you can ask your trade representative, and Donald Trump's like, nope. This is all about what I heard on Fox News Channel. He doesn't care what, I mean, he's got an entire bureaucracy of experts and advisors mm-hmm. at his little stumpy fingertips. Mm-hmm. And yet he doesn't believe a fucking word they have to say. You know, here's Spain's foreign minister saying, you know what, Mr. President, the Sahara is literally 3,000 miles wide. To build a wall across it would cost billions, if not trillions of dollars. Yeah. And even then it would be entirely useless because it's a desert and there's wind and sand and it would get buried and it wouldn't matter anymore.
Right.
And he's all like, no, I think you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Wrong. Yeah. But no, Mr. President, how would we start to build? Where would we get the materials? And
wrong.
He wants
to. When will this end?
The U.S. border with Mexico is roughly 2,000 miles long. Mm-hmm. Yes. So the Sahara border, you stupid fucking idiot president.
Wrong.
It is bigger than our border with Mexico, much by 1,000 miles. And mm-hmm. that is a lot. Just in case Donald Trump is trolling this show and listening in, it's 1,000 miles longer. And 1,000 miles is, you know, a lot.
Wrong.
Oh, my God. And this is the guy.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
And the other thing, again, I've started an entire category here where I collect stories under the heading mentally unfit / brainworms. So that's where all these stories are coming from. I mean, this is just the last few days. Donald Trump is doing everything he possibly can to vindicate every word in the Woodward book and every word of that anonymous op-ed from last week. And by the way, that was only last week.
Manafort was only last week.
That's insane.
It was only Friday. It wasn't even a whole week yet.
I swear to God, Jody, I'm losing my hair because of this president. And you can ask Kimberly Johnson if she had heard me. Kimberly! She still doesn't hear me.
Still yelling at her.
Yeah, maybe I should have opened the door. That probably would have helped.
That would help.
But I can't quite reach it from where I'm sitting anyway. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, it's because I'm losing my hair because of Trump.
Wrong.
I think that's my punishment for making fun of him so much, making fun of his hair especially, is just my fucking hair is falling out. Trump also lashed out at Jeff Sessions. This is also from the Brainworm stack right here. Trump again lashed out at Jeff Sessions, said, I don't have an attorney general. It's very sad.
Sad.
He literally said that. So sad. Everybody, let's all cry for Trump. Yeah. Yeah, it's so sad, I know.
Stop whining.
So sad. Trump doesn't have an attorney general. And you know what? No other president has ever had an attorney general. You know why?
Right.
Because the attorney general doesn't belong to the president.
Exactly.
Trump thinks the attorney general is like his personal security force, like the space force, but for Lua.
Lua.
Lua. And of course, we know that he's
wrong.
He's wrong about that. Mm-hmm. I don't have an attorney general. Well, you idiot, you never had an attorney general. All right, you know what? We're going to take one last break. I'm going to go in the other room and count the numbers of hairs remaining on my head. Back with more show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You know what this song is called? It's David Bowie's song. David Bowie, Looking for Water. He's looking for water because it's the wettest of all waters.
You know, I like my water dry, personally.
Kimberly Johnson is here, finally, to vouch for Brooklinen sheets. Are they cool? Are they the coolest sheets you've ever slept on? What you're right up on my microphone and I still can't hear you. What did you say?
I said they are the coolest sheets I've ever slept on, and I'm a menopausal woman.
See, there you go.
Ben,
see,
there you go.
Yeah, no better endorsement. You get a menopausal woman who's having hot flashes.
I remember those.
Yeah, that's kind of person you get the coolest sheets possible for, right? You want to go out and buy Brooklinen sheets, especially if you're a menopausal woman having hot flashes. I can't guarantee. I mean, they're offering no guarantee that they're going to solve all of your hot flashes, but they will be cooler to the touch than your normal average everyday sheets. And that's all I have to say about that. Okay. Jody Hamilton is here. We're talking about Trump's brain worms and so much else. Where do we go from here? I guess stupid Watergate. You know, talking about brainworms, you got to cover stupid Watergate too. Okay, so Trump said he hasn't read the documents that he wants to have declassified.
I know why, because there's no pictures and his name isn't in it.
That's exactly right. He said he expected to show that they would prove the FBI case started as a political hoax, but he hasn't seen the document. He hasn't seen the documents unredacted.
Right.
What could possibly go wrong?
No.
This is, of course, again, Donald Trump making things worse for Donald Trump. I mean, we've seen countless situations like this, Jody, where there's some document or some bit of testimony that they want to have declassified and released. You know, remember hashtag release the memo.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes out and then it's just like they just stand there and go, oops, maybe we shouldn't have released this memo because it hurts our case. In support of Donald Trump. And that's what's going to happen with this thing. But the good news is from a national security point of view, because this is a national security issue. Unredacting these memos would mean revealing sources and methods and things like that, and it would make it nearly impossible for the FBI to do its job. Mm-hmm. So the FBI and the DOJ are expected to defy Trump's order to declassify and release these unredacted versions of the Carter Page FISA warrant. And the by the way, and also the text messages by James Comey and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, et cetera. The agencies are expected to submit their documents and propose redactions to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which will package the materials and send them to the White House for approval and release. Doing so would put the agencies in direct conflict with Trump, who has the power to declassify the materials on his own. But they're going to send this over to Dan Coats. And I think Dan Coats is going to go, no. And we've seen this countless times, haven't we, where Trump's own administration officials have contravened and his orders. Like he'll tweet something 1 minute and then you'll see people show up in front of a bunch of cameras the next minute. Actual Trump appointees saying, no, we're not going to do that.
Right.
That is not. No, don't hold your breath. That's not going to happen. We're not going to be doing those things. Which, again, I wonder if Trump knows when they do that or if he's told when they do that. And then secondly, I wonder how he reacts.
Yeah.
Like if Dan Coats goes, oh, you know, no way. I'm declassifying this shit. You know, it's just not going to happen, Mr. President. And what does the president do? Fire Dan Coats? By the way, I think he's going to fire a whole bunch of people. I forget who exactly made that prediction last night on MSNBC, but I totally agree with it. That after the midterm election, like the next day,
Sessions is gone. Sessions will be gone.
Totally gone. Totally gone. Totally gone. And just everyone who Donald Trump doesn't like in his administration are going to be fired.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be basically a bloodbath after that. And not like I'm upset about that. But in the case of the Justice Department, we need to watch that extra carefully because, of course, he's going to fire people just to obstruct justice.
Right.
So, and obviously, if Dan Coats resists issuing these unredacted documents, he's going to go too. I think Dan Coats is just going to get fired for what he said at that Andre Mitchell interview. On stage, remember where he was like rolling his eyes? I forget what other disaster. What do you remember? What disaster it was that he was reacting to when he was with Andrea Mitchell? I mean, for God's sake!
I honestly don't remember.
This cannot continue. Where we just see how? I mean, we follow this, Jody. You and I, Kimberly Johnson, Stephanie Miller, Jackie Schechner, Buzz Burbank, we're all following this news on a day-to-day basis, close up, with our faces pressed against our computer screens practically, and we can't remember what happened last week because the flooding of the zone. And can you imagine now, just average everyday American voters who don't follow this stuff up as closely as we do? Right. Trying to follow along and trying to remember, trying to make a mental note in their head. Boy, that thing was really heinous. That thing, that awful thing that Trump did. We need to hold that against him. Absolutely. When we go into the voting booth. But I mean, if we can't remember it, how can anyone else remember? Right. I mean, it's only a matter of another week or so before we forget Bob Woodward and the anonymous op-ed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like milk or something left on the countertop. You leave a carton of milk on the countertop, it's got a certain shelf life. It's going to spoil quickly. And that's the way Trump news works. It just starts to rot away. By the way, just days before Manafort flipped, Don Jr. told ABC's Good Morning America that he's not afraid of going to jail due to Mueller's probe. I'm not, because I know what I did and I'm not worried about any of that. That doesn't mean they won't try to create something. I mean, we've seen that happen with everything, but again, I'm not. So that part right there where he says, doesn't mean they won't try to create something. That means Don Jr. knows that he's next, or one of the next people on the Mueller chopping block, just based on what he's probably heard through his lawyers. So he's getting ready. I mean, did you notice last week he grew his indictment beard?
Yes.
I don't know if he still has it, but I like to, at the time, I like to speculate that, Don Jr.'s got a beard. Oh, this is an indictment beard. It makes him look tougher in jail. Because he's going to need to, of course, if he accuses anyone of trying to rape him in jail, we got to say, no, you're just making that up. You just want attention, Don Jr. You're just looking to get a book deal. with his rape allegations. Okay, one last thing. This is some fantastic news from the Supreme Court. And we're talking about all the tragedy that's about to occur if Brett Kavanaugh gets confirmed. Well, the Supreme Court has decided to force political nonprofits to disclose their donors. This is a gigantic blow, perhaps a death blow, to the idea of dark money. Mm-hmm. You can no longer donate thousands, if not millions of dollars to these 501c3 organizations that comport themselves as nonprofits, but they're mm-hmm. actually political action groups. You can't donate to those groups without your name and or your organization being disclosed.
This is good news.
So, yes, it doesn't stop the dark money. It right. just makes it a lot less dark.
Right.
Yeah. So they could still do these things, but we're going to know about who they are and what they're up to. It's going to be very easy to zero in on who's asking for what in terms of favors in exchange for their money. So that's all good news. And also, a growing number of Americans don't want Kavanaugh to be appointed to the Supreme Court. So this is another angle to all of this, that he's just unpopular.
Yeah. I mean, he's got less popularity than Clarence Thomas did at the height of the Anita Hill stuff. So he needs to just withdraw. They yeah. can find another horrible person that doesn't have as much rape or perjury in his background.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the percentage of people who now oppose Brett Kavanaugh has gone up 6 percentage points to 36% of adults.
Yeah.
Saying they oppose Trump's nominee. 31% said they're in favor of Kavanaugh's appointment.
That's so, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So to me, that kind of emphasizes what Trump's base is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just generally speaking around 38 to 40% support for Donald Trump right now is in terms of his approval polls.
Mm-hmm.
I think his ceiling ultimately, his core support is only about 31%.
Right.
And that's not going to win him any elections.
No.
Although I am a
not
little,
if the rest of us vote.
Yeah, I know. But I am a little concerned about Reuters and, Reuters specifically. Reuters just did the Reuters Ipsos poll. It's pulled 1,300 people, likely voters. And Trump is 47-52. That's a 5-point spread between approve and disapprove. Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Yeah, and let's see, the Economist YouGov, this is just registered voters, 44-53. That's a 9-point spread. It's not as wide open for the Democrats as you might think.
No, don't get happy.
No, do not get fucking happy. Seriously.
To quote a very wise man, don't get happy.
Right. And, you know, look at the polls for Beto O'Rourke versus Ted Cruz. One day, you know, O'Rourke is 9 points down. The next day, he's 2 points up. The polls are all over the place. Just assume that your Democratic candidates are 5 points down at least. Just assume that they are, even if they're in the lead. And then get out the vote accordingly.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do. All right. Jody Hamilton can be found at from-the-bunker.com. Also on Twitter at fromthebunkerjr. That's fromthebunkerjr. Jody, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.